Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Say the word bodybuilding, and the first image that comes to mind might be Arnold Schwarzenegger in his earlier days. But the sport itself may be one of the most misunderstood ones around. With a bodybuilding championship on tap this weekend in Kansas City, we'll talk today about what pushes people to do hardcore workouts and diet so carefully to keep themselves in top physical form. And we'll take a look at what bodybuilding competitors look like and what it would take for normal people to work their way to the physique of a bodybuilder. Here to help us understand the sport a little bit better are Emily Copeland and Josh Seahorn. They're both bodybuilders and trainers at Hitch Fit Gym here in Kansas City. Josh is competing in a bodybuilding championship, the one this weekend at the Midland. Emily, who's competed in the past, is training four competitors for the upcoming event. And Emily, so good to have you. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Josh, nice to have you too.
Thank you.
Good morning. Well, Emily, what got you interested in bodybuilding to begin with?
Well, I had been training at Hitch Fit for about a year and a half, and I had watched my fellow trainers and other clients do it, and so I wanted to train for one myself.
If they could do it, you thought maybe you could too, eh?
Sure, yeah, I'm competitive. Everyone else was doing it and getting more fit, and so I wanted to give it a shot.
Josh, what got you hooked?
Well, my path is a little untraditional in the sense I used to be overweight, and I hired a trainer who is the owner of Hitch Fit, Micah, to get me in shape, and I watched him go through training for a competition. Eventually, he became a world champion, and watching him do it motivated me to kind of follow in his footsteps, my mentor.
But what motivated you? What sort of caught your interest about the whole thing?
The discipline aspect of pushing your body as far as you possibly can to places probably you've never imagined that you could be with, 5% body fat, for instance. And, being that I was, 230 pounds, probably 30% body fat, that was just unbelievable to me. So I just wanted to, see what I could do.
What's your body fat today?
Today we're probably around 12 to 15%.
Right.
I'm actually competing later in the year. Emily's doing the show. She's a pro. She's doing one in August, I believe.
Mm-hmm. So you're not doing the one this week?
Correct. Right? I'm actually training competitors as well.
So you have to get that body fat quotient down a little bit.
Yeah, about 5% or so.
Right. Yeah. That's an essential part when you're trying to train for a show. So you'd ask what it takes to get prepared for a show. The time frame that you're setting yourself up for is based on where you're starting and where you need to finish in your body fat.
And 5% is important. Why exactly, Emily? What's so magical about that?
So 5% would be a percentage for the guys. Women always carry more body fat than their male counterparts. So at 5% for a guy, you can see all the muscles that are underneath and all of the hard work that you've been doing. One guy may have more muscle than the other guy, but if he has a lot of fat on top of his muscles, then you won't see it. So that's why it's important to diet carefully so that you can take your body fat low enough that you can actually see all the muscles underneath.
Now, Josh, what you said a minute ago is so interesting to me, this idea of pushing yourself as hard as you have to push yourself to make this thing work. A lot of folks, I'm guessing here, look at bodybuilding and don't regard it maybe as that strenuous for whatever reason. Do you find that as you talk to people about it?
I find that they don't understand the discipline that goes into it beyond just the workouts. It's your diet, your preparation for your diet for the entire week. It's being very specific on, how much protein, carbs, and fats you eat. And that actually changes every day based on your workload. And it's the mental toughness that comes with that because, you want to go out and eat some ice cream, but you can't do it because you got to get up on stage, in, tiny little shorts and show everybody what you got.
Man.
And it's an art form as well. So, as opposed to painter or musician who can separate themselves and their physical form with their art, you are what you are. So as you're training and trying to shape your body for symmetry and the leanness and all of that, you have to work with what you've got because you can't just step away from it.
Well, let me just ask, the first time you guys competed and you got up on a stage and people are staring at you in a way that you probably have never been stared at before in your lives, what was that like, Emily?
It was intense. I'm a dancer, so I enjoy being up on the stage, so I hate dieting and I enjoy working out, but being on stage is actually the part that I was looking forward to the most.
But even being sort of dissected in a way that I guess, is proper, unlike the rest of the time in society when people can't look at you like that. But to be really dissected that way, it's got to be a little strange.
Sure. I mean, no, it's definitely intense. I think so. When you step out onto the stage, you'll walk out by yourself initially. And there's like loud music playing. It sort of sounds like a club. So they play popular like music and things like that. And then the judges are down below. So you just present yourself on stage to the judges and the crowd. So at that moment, it's not so much. It doesn't feel anyways that like they're like, oh, okay, you know, maybe there's something wrong with her legs or her abs or something.
Because you're focused on what you got to be
right.
doing.
Right. So I mean, for me, it's more about making sure that I'm smiling the whole time and, you know, making sure that I'm just full of energy up there, because they also judge you on that. It's not just about how you look. So the way that you present yourself and just perform on the stage plays into your placement in the competition.
Josh, what was it like for you walking up there the first time?
Oh, I was scared to death. I was up there. I was shaking. My heart was pounding. And, you know, you start sweating because the lights are pounding, you know, heat on you. And you got this fake tan, and I'm pretty sure mine started streaking down on me. You have to flex and smile. It's very unnatural up there. And then you look at everybody that's next to you, and they're like, these are the best physiques in the entire world. And here I am, you know.
I imagine, is there a lot of comparing going on? You're sort of getting ready to walk out on stage, and I'm sure you're looking at the guy next to you thinking, oh, man, I can't compare to that guy.
I'm sizing everybody up there. Mostly, right. Thank you, my genetic gift, I guess, is I have nice calves, so I'm looking at everybody's just kind of pointing out their flaws, just trying to take away from mine. But it's all in fun, though. Everybody respects, you know, everyone up there, and we have a good time. But at the same time, you know, you kind of want to compare yourself to, you know, to the best ones up there and hopefully beat them.
Yeah, good camaraderie up there?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, I mean, the sizing up and the camaraderie begins the night before. So,
I can only imagine.
So tonight is the athletes' meeting, and so everyone comes out, and they get to see each other and, you know, meet the judges and all of that. So a lot of times people compete in multiple shows, and then there's a lot of social networking that goes on before the shows. So you can kind of meet people online and then meet them face-to-face there. So They really, the WBFF specifically really tries to encourage that camaraderie among all the athletes. So yes, it's a competition, but it's also about just being fit and healthy and acknowledging that everyone's worked really hard.
We're talking about bodybuilding this morning with Emily Copeland and Josh Seahorn. They're both trainers at Hitch Fit Gym, talking about a competition taking place this weekend at the Midland here in Kansas City. You know, one thing about bodybuilding that strikes me so much is this idea that, you know, some people are obviously very attracted to the sport, Josh, and some are very much repelled by it. How do you explain that sort of dichotomy there?
Well, I think a lot of the being repelled by it is they don't understand what's going on. They think it's a vanity sport, which, you know, obviously, and to a point it is, but they don't understand the discipline factor that you can translate to the rest of your life. You know, you can either do this or not. You can push yourself as hard as you can. When you don't want to do it, are you going to wake up, eat the food you want, and work out? And you can translate to, you know, work, for instance. If it's work is hard, are you still going to show up and do the best you can, or are you going to give up? Mm-hmm. And I think there's the disconnect lies. They don't understand you can translate that to the rest of your life. And they just look at the physique and think, oh, they're just trying to show off their muscles.
Yeah. Emily, what do you think it is?
I think it's a little misunderstood, too. And then there's been, in different capacities, they always associate it with steroid abuse and
I was gonna ask.
Making sure that, you know, you just look so unnatural. And I would say that the WBFF and also other organizations really don't allow steroid usage, and, you know, there's testing
I was going to say, do they test for it?
So the WBFF doesn't test for it. It is more based on the honors system, I guess. But it's pretty obvious if you would be abusing steroids versus
is
not.
It?
So, I mean, it's especially in the guys.
Obvious because the guys are just cut more, or what's the thing?
I would say, Josh, what makes it most obvious?
They're going to be a lot bigger, and the vascularity is going to be a lot different looking than a natural guy.
Their vascularity?
Yeah, the veins popping all over their entire body.
Yeah.
They have a funny look to them. And then as well as their muscles have a different kind of fullness, whereas a natural guy looks more like a normal human who just, you know, works out hard and is in, you know, great shape, actually.
Have you come across guys, fellow competitors you thought were using?
Absolutely. You think, you don't really know, but you have suspicions, obviously. I mean,
if it's on the honor system, what do you say?
you know, best of luck to you. It's your decision, but you know, I'm not doing it. I'm doing this for me.
Did you confront him with it?
No, I have no interest. It doesn't really affect me, honestly. You know, I just want to do the best that I can. I mean, ultimately, it's a subjective sport anyway, so it doesn't really matter what they choose to do with their life. It's, you know, I have to live with myself and wake up every day and know what I'm doing or not doing.
Emily, you were saying that use of steroids is more of a male thing. Help me with that. Why is that?
Well, because it's more important for the guys in pretty much all of their competition categories to grow their muscles as, you know, as big as they can. So I would say for the girls, I mean, especially in the category that I compete in, it's really more about long, lean muscles and just kind of the physique that most women would be desiring for when they would get ready for a summer vacation or a trip to the pool. So there are categories that are the other two besides the one that I compete in where they do expect you to have more muscles, but certainly that super masculine look on the girl is definitely not what they want. So there would be less reason to use steroids.
Because sometimes, you know, in those magazines at the supermarket, you do sort of see women who are extraordinarily cut and not in ways unlike the men. And you're saying that's really not the look that's favored these days.
No. So specifically with the WBFF, they really want it to be like a marketable face and a marketable figure, meaning that, you know, their pros that they pick could cross over to do just, you know, regular modeling or just make a face that would be more normal, like more mainstream.
Do many women have a problem with sort of the different outlooks and how men and women should look, or is it just sort of pretty much accepted these days?
How do you mean?
Well, do some women object to the idea that you're judged on a standard that's different than how the men are judged?
Oh, I mean, I wouldn't say so. I mean, it is a lot different, right? I mean, so the best, the male competitor who wins is going to be huge and big and bulky, and then the one who wins in the female is going to be long and lean and tight.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's sort of the extremes of both male and female, right, on either side. But I wouldn't say there's a lot of resentment from one side to the other.
I should point out the World Bodybuilding and Fitness Federation's Central U.S. Championship will be held all day Saturday at the Midland. For tickets, you can head to the Midland box office either in person or you can go online, right? All day Saturday?
Yes.
All right. We're talking about bodybuilding with Emily Copeland, Josh Seahorn, bodybuilders. Emily's also a trainer. Our phone number here, if you want to talk about muscles and getting ripped and how you can do it, 816-235-2888. Our email address, UpToDate at kcur.org. You can also tweet us at KCUR UpToDate. Let's talk about training a little bit. I gather this is more of a young person's kind of sport, or am I flat wrong? You're shaking your head already at me, Josh.
Absolutely. It's
so I could do it.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely you could do it.
Yeah.
Just a matter of taking an appropriate amount of time to get your body fat levels and your muscle mass up.
You need sort of a certain body frame to be more successful at it than not?
Not so much necessarily. A tall, lankier man is going to be a slight more disadvantage than someone like myself. You know, I'm 5'9", and I'm not that lean. I'm more of a boxy. I can put muscle on easier than that other frame.
Yeah,
for
tall,
instance.
Lanky is going to struggle a little bit, right?
Yeah, a little bit, just because it takes a little longer to put on muscle. But also, as far as the age question we were going at, we have a lot of women who are moms who are in the best shape of their life post-pregnancy, and they're doing it. And then you obviously get, you know, younger people that are in their mid-20s as well, so it's for everybody.
Sure. All the girls that I'm training are 30 to 35, and then there's a 35 and up category.
Huh.
And a lot of the guys, they don't even have age restrictions on them because the guy who has the most muscle mass has probably been building that since he was 18. So, I mean, one of our trainers who competes all the time, he's 35, 37.
I believe age is around 36 or 7. He's got one of the best physiques in the entire world. I think it's.
I mean, you might
second.
Think he was like 28. So.
Yeah,
really?
So you know, your muscle matures as you get the mid-30s for men. So that's when you start looking your best.
Really?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mid-30s.
Absolutely. That's when it starts to mature the most, yeah. Although, you know, you're still growing at that point from your 20s on.
So you're saying it's really the age, competitors are across all age categories here. There's really not a lump in the young youthful range?
Yeah, I mean, I would say also it takes a lot of discipline to do something like this. So, I mean, if you're 18 and you're headed off to college and you just want to hang out with your friends and eat pizza every night in your dorm, you know, it just, you really, it's a different kind of lifestyle when you're training for that. So you have to be careful and measure out all of your meals and make sure you hit your workouts, and you have to sleep at night. You can't just go on 6 hours of sleep every night. Training will be really unsuccessful. So
really, sleep's that important?
Oh, it's extremely important.
Really?
So some people, it doesn't affect as much. But I mean, as a girl, when you're already pretty fit and you're trying to lose more weight, if I don't get any sleep, it's a miserable preparation time for me. So
what else, Josh, do people need to know about sort of preparing to compete? I mean, are you eating 3 meals a day or are you eating more meals a day? And tell me about measuring out the food that you're eating.
Well, as far as meals per day go, I mean, typically, you know, 6 to 8 is what people do. But that's kind
of 6 to 8 meals?
Yeah. And that's actually on the smaller grand scheme of things of importance. It's really on the lower end. It's more about total calories and how you break up those calories with protein, carbs, and fats. And you don't want to start your carbohydrates too low because you don't have anywhere to work with at that point. You want to start them as high as possible.
Meaning what, why? Explain that to me.
If you start your carbohydrates as high as possible, you can actually, as you go down, taper them the lower you get to decrease your calories. That way your protein and your fat intake, which you need just to function, your body to function, that stays the same in your the carbohydrates is your body's preferred energy source. So as you decrease that, trick your body into thinking that you're eating more sometimes based off of different days you're eating more and less, your body will get lean just based off that. But if you already start off with no carbs, you have nowhere to work with.
So a typical meal then would be what for you?
Well, my favorite meal is actually protein pancakes that I like to make. It's basically egg whites, oatmeal, a little bit of protein powder, and some vanilla. Blend it up, cook it like pancakes, and some sugar-free syrup and maybe a little almond butter on there.
That sounds pretty good.
It's amazing.
Yeah. But again, you're going yourself, what, 6 meals a day?
I personally do 6 meals a day, yeah. And I have specific targets of protein, carbs, and fats that I hit. And I keep track of that via, you know, a free app like MyFitnessPal, for instance.
I was going to say, does someone provide that for you so you know what you're shooting at here?
I've done this enough where I know how much food I need to eat and how to break it up. And I just track it via an app that's, you know, MyFitnessPal. It's free. Everybody can use it.
Emily, how about you? How's your eating routine differ from his?
So for me, because of the category I compete in, I don't watch my macros quite as carefully. I go more off of
your macros, meaning
the carbs and proteins and fats, as he's talking about. So I eat protein with all of my meals, so that's 6 meals every day, and then go more off of servings. So making sure that I'm eating clean carbs, which would be not white bread and donuts, you know, it would be more.
What are clean carbs?
Clean carbs would be like sweet potatoes and oatmeal, brown rice, quinoa. These are things that your body's going to digest more quickly and get more nutrients from than you would just white processed flour. So,
and the trick is you're going to serve yourself a certain portion and that's it. You're not going to eat more than
right? So, I mean, since I'm eating every 2-3 hours, then I'll fill myself up for, you know, 2 or 3 hours and then I'll eat again from there. So
do you ever go out to eat?
I do go out to eat. So it'll back down a little bit. Competition preparation begins like on June 1st. So I won't be eating out as much. You can if you're really careful about it. And like competitors who travel for their job have to work even harder because it is really hard to find that kind of food when you're not cooking it yourself.
And you're working out how many times a day?
It can get upwards of 3 times a day when you're getting close to crunch time for the show, and up to, you know, 6 days a week, take a full day off. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, lifting weights. There's a lot of sprinting going on and some steady state cardio as well.
Steady
state cardio. It's just, you know, getting on the elliptical or just taking a run or something like that, where your heart rate's constantly the same rate the whole time.
Maybe even like a jog, like the whole time.
And the weightlifting you're doing, tell me about that. What are you doing exactly?
Well, I pretty much pick one or two body parts a day. Try to lift heavy for the entire time. Heavy is obviously relative to the individual.
I mean, heavy and fewer reps, but heavy each time.
Yeah, aim for that. You know, 6 to 8 rep range is considered, you know, heavy when you're almost to failure at that point. And, you know, anywhere from 5 to 6 sets. And, you know, you want to kind of keep a pretty good pace up, too, to keep the heart rate up.
5 to 6 sets.
Mm-hmm.
Each, and you're doing this 3 or 4 times a day.
Yeah, the weightlifting part is typically just once, and then you're going to do sprinting on a separate workout, and then you're going to, you know, go for a run or something like that for the third workout.
Just out of curiosity, how much are you bench pressing when you're doing this?
My bench press is really not all that impressive. The most I've ever done is 315 for one time.
Oh, yeah, just 315. That's just terrible.
I'm embarrassed about it.
Yeah, I max at 425. You know, that's my number. 816-235-2888. Our email address, update@kcur.org. You can tweet us @kcurupdate. Russ from Kansas City, Missouri, good morning.
Good morning. This may be a little too much for the radio, but I worked out for several years, and I got down to 13%, kind of hit this wall, and when I pushed through it, I was on a high-protein, low-complex-carb diet, and I was hitting it pretty hard. And to get down to 11% body fat, I dropped 9 pounds of muscle mass instead of additional fat. I was wondering what your guests might have to say about that. I never could seem, no matter how I reconfigured the workouts or the diet, I could never seem to get past that 13% without losing body mass. Muscle, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Thanks, Russ.
Well, the first thing I would, you know, you have to make 100% sure you're getting adequate protein, first of all. And second of all, you know, he talked about his lower carbohydrates at that point, which, you know, I was kind of touching on earlier. You want to do what we call a carb cycle. Based on your workload, if you're having a higher intense workout, you want to have higher carbohydrates. And if you're having a less, you know, intense day, you want to have a lower one. And that tricks your body into burning more fat, those last, you know, few percentages that you want. And if your protein and, you know, you do that carb cycle is adequate, you'll hopefully preserve as much muscle as you can. You will lose a little bit, though, when you get leaner like that.
You know, Emily, when you're sort of working towards a competition and you're working out a lot, are you tired all the time or do you feel great? Which one is it?
I would say as long as you get enough sleep, you really are in the best shape of your life. So I would say I feel really good. I mean, by the time I lift 4 days a week and then I teach group exercise classes, so I get my cardio in there, plus I'll do extra cardio. The prep for the show can be anywhere from 12 to 16 weeks. So by the time you get down to that last month, you're a little tired, right? So, I mean, you've been dieting real carefully the whole time and then working out, you know, I mean, 8-9 hours a week and maybe more. So, yeah, you definitely get a little tired by the time you get to those last few weeks. But I would say you feel good and you look good and it's just a good feeling.
I want to get to the competitions themselves and what people might expect at what they're going to see in Kansas City this weekend. And Steve from Gladstone has a question about just that. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Well, thanks.
I had a question, well, not specifically for Emily, but you remember back in the 80s when Pumping Iron came out, it made Arnold Schwarzenegger a big celebrity star.
Yes, sir.
And then a year or two later, Pumping Iron 2 came out, and it was about the women. And the real dichotomy in that documentary was the fact that there was this really muscular, I think she was Australian, who was just, you know, extremely muscular, and she didn't win, and it was a big controversy because at that point, I think the women were still trying to figure out what they wanted this competition to be about. And, Emily, have we settled into the mindset that it'll never be the same as the men?
I would say it's not the same as the men, but in a way that we can compete for ourselves. So you can bring out the most feminine aspects of the female and be strong. So, I mean, one of the sayings that's going around now is just that fit is the new skinny or strong is the new skinny. Mm-hmm. It's not about being scrawny and tiny like a runway model. You can have muscles and you can be proud of them. And there's no reason why you can't lift as much as you can at the gym and still be a woman.
I want to get both of you just very, very quickly here. The judges are looking for what, Josh, when they're evaluating you? They're looking for what? Just real quick.
Three things: aesthetics, symmetry, stage presence, and then your face.
Really?
Yeah.
You can't do much about that, though, right?
Unfortunately, that's why I don't do very well in the shows.
Face made for radio. That's what they say about me. Emily, how about you?
It's the same for the girls. They do look at your face and then balance in your physique, and your stage presence is really important as well.
Well, again, the World Bodybuilding and Fitness Federation Central U.S. Championship will be held all day Saturday at the Midland. For tickets, head to the Midland box office, either in person or online. Emily Copeland, Josh Seahorn, thanks so much for coming in. So good to have you both.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR.